Now, the doctors that I'm aware of, when they use tools, each tool is psychically controlled. It has its own power base. So imagine a screwdriver, but one that can float in the air like that. Just literally gently floats like that. And it's psychically controlled, and it has its own energy base. So you know when in an operation a doctor says forceps and they get passed across? Well, that's not how these guys work. These things just float in the air. They have a box, literally have a toolkit, and they float, and they just take them and use them and just hang in the air. And I woke up and said, what happened to me? And I was told, you died. But don't worry, we will return you. And the next time, I'm standing by the bed, thinking, oh, don't feel very well at all. I'm getting into bed. And then, fine. Many years later, teaching a young lad to drive and at a junction and doing the safety checks, and somebody who thinks we should go, we didn't, crashed into the back of this. I did genuinely get bad pain in my neck. Called the police said, oof, more an ambulance. Ambulance comes, took me away. Big ploy, big pus for James Cook Hospital in Middlesbrough, fantastic hospital, brilliant, really good. Woman doctor, fantastic. And she comes up to me and says, really good news for you, Mr. Parker, that the damage is only soft tissue damage, but I would like to talk to you about your spine. So I said, what do you mean? And her face just dropped. And she said, you don't know? And I said, what do you mean you don't know? She said, didn't you go to hospital? No. And then she's in total confusion. And I'm saying, well, you know, what is it about? Do I need to go and see my doctor? She said, no, it's fine now, it's all healed. And she goes to walk away and said, no, you can't do that. You can't come here and say that, you need to explain it. So she said, well, have you ever played any contact sports like rugby? Or I said, well, no, not really. Because she said, the sort of injury you have, I would expect to see, you know, that's what we see. So I said, well, what is this injury? And in the end, I forced it out of her, but my spine was snapped in half, but had regrown. And it just shown up on the x-ray. And that, she wasn't at all bothered about the soft tissue damage, she was bothered about the spine actually broken, but she could see from the x-ray that there was growth that was very old that had regrown. And I'm convinced that that's what occurred to me in 1969 when I fell on this concrete thing and when they said you're dead. But don't worry, we'll put you back. Now, let's really sort of jump now and really get exciting here. They could have cloned me. Because I understand there are clones in me. But they didn't. Because if I'd been a clone, I would have had a perfectly normal spine. So they decided to reuse the body and get me back. So the question is, when I died, where did my soul go? Very fascinating. Is to put it back in. So that produced quite a lot of interest. And, you know, I need really, I guess, to go to a private hospital and say, do me an x-ray of my back, please. Because the NHS won't let you have that, but a private hospital, you pay it, they'll give it to you. So I've never felt the need to, because I know the truth. But, you know, if somebody came to me a bit financially and said, look, I'll pay you to go to Bupa and have an x-ray, well, fine. I'd do it. It'd be really interesting, and I could come in and hold the x-ray up for people. So that's one interesting point.
Yeah. And can I just interject that? With a lot of your story, this is not putting the story down in any way. It's all based on your eyewitness testimony.
Yeah.
If you could get hold of that x-ray...
You pay for it now,
well, yeah, maybe have to start a fund. But that'd be like real hard physical evidence.
Yeah.
That you could take to other doctors or whatever.
I wouldn't want to take the doctors. I'd rather show it to you guys. when I became a driving instructor, you have to have a special licence. The days of when one man and a dog could teach people to drive a long gun, it's one of the most regulated driving routines anywhere in the world now, because we had the highest death rates outside of America for young kids. When I applied for that, that's the DVLA, the DVLA said to me, we've got no record of you. When they said, when we put your name into the computer, it comes up with your address. As far as we're concerned, you only came into the country yesterday. They had no record of any school I'd ever been to. No hospital, doctors, nothing. And I then had to go and find documentation that went back to 1985, hard copied and posted, before they would believe that I actually hadn't just arrived in the country. And my human mother had said there are two records kept for all people who have alien experiences. One, genuine experiences that the government wishes to interrogate and ask questions of, and another one where they relinquish their responsibility. In other words, there's a small list of people that the government has no right over. But if I park on a double yellow line, I'll get a ticket and I pay taxes. But in terms of the bigger game, the bigger decisions, they're not allowed to be involved. And their attitude is, we don't manage him, we don't control him, he doesn't exist. So when this physical body of mine dies, it'll be interesting because the only thing left of me will be on YouTube. It's still going. But there'll be no record. There's no record of me going to school.
Why is that? Is there an agreement that's between the alien species and the government?
Yeah. it's part of the government honouring an agreement that there are certain individuals throughout the globe that the aliens feel that to them is very important, that the connection is important. They do not want manipulation. They don't want influence from the human side on that particular person. So that person belongs to them in the way they put it across to the elite government. When somebody came from Canada to visit me, they had only been in the house 20 minutes, and the doorbell went, and there was a policeman, and the policemen I see are always about 6'8", 6'9", 6'10". It's really interesting. I don't see ordinary policemen. And this is a good example, and a young boy, maybe 14 years old, who was obviously in a trance state, standing there with a handful of flowers. So there's a big policeman, and the boy, about between 12 and 14, local school, with a handful of flowers. And I know the game, so I'd look at this copper. I look at the boy, and the police officer said, and I quote, "I was on patrol," straight face, Simon, "I was on patrol, and I saw this young man stealing flowers from your garden." Sorry, this is Whitby, remember, you wouldn't get this response here. So I put the blue lights on, swung the car around, got him, and made him come here to say sorry. I've got this person who's come from Canada who's brought a 16-year-old girl who has a demonic possession, which had to be removed. She had alternate personalities, which I had to reabsorb. And she had a suicide program, which I had to switch off. That's why these people have turned up on my doorstep. The boy knew nothing. He was in a total trance. So I looked at the boy and I said, "You know what? If you want flowers, you can have as many as you want. Just come and ask." And that was it. But the police officer didn't move. And I knew he wants to come in and see these two. So I said, "Why don't you come in?" So we came in, walked into my front room, looked at the mother, looked at the girl, said to me, "That's fine," and goes off. That's how the elite are allowed to work with me. They are allowed to observe. And that's all. When I do get interference, it's when people act without authority. When my car was rammed off the road and I had an employee of the Rothschilds in the car with me, that attack was unauthorised. Okay? So this is what occurs when an elite organisation is following a game plan. But sometimes as you go down through the structure, some of the people down there don't want to hear what the orders are, because they may be personally affected by something like that, and they may then do their own things. So governments generally want a quiet life. They want to not rock the boat. And until the human element has an equal technological balance with off-worlders, they won't push the situation too far. Right. Is it tea time? It's not, is it?
It's not, though. We're going to go for another 50 minutes.
Okay, that's fine.
Can I have another question?
Yeah, sure.
I'm interested in is just to sort of start it off somewhere, because obviously there's quite a lot. I think we've all got questions which are wide scattered. I guess the interest is, from your perspective, who are the alien groupings engaging the planet?
Okay.
Why are they engaging the planet?
Okay.
And I think there was one more, but I'll...
Okay, because you know, Sina, if you give me three, I won't remember them.
Right. I want to ask you a question.
Can I just ask this, because I have dyslexia. I will not be able to cope, and my pet will have to come back and ask for to be reminded. As I look at President Putin is now being advised by what we would call Nordics. No longer is he being advised by reptilians. That is why we're seeing this great game that's being played out. We can talk about it later. So the Nordics is a very human-based group advising Putin. So this planet has always been influenced by a reptilian type of force, and above them we call the Archons, but we'll talk about the Archons later. The reptilian force is the force that has always been involved. If you remember Star Trek and what they call the Prime Directive, which is you won't get involved, that exists for the fifth frequency and others. So anybody who comes from the fifth dimension or higher believes in that and will not get involved unless there's absolute paramount reason. But those in the fourth dimension have no interest in that at all, and they believe they have the right to involve themselves. So that is why when I did the news, the TV breakfast program, it's called Today, I think. Was that what it's called?
This morning.
This morning. When I did the This Morning with Holly Willoughby and Chris,
Peter Schofield.
Chris Schofield. I was a radio interview with Chris 2 days ago, that's what that is. And you look like him. I was asked to draw some of these aliens while I was in the studio just before I went live. So I drew a mantid and a reptilian. In fact, they went to the art department to get a nice set of crayons, and I thought they might give them to me because they were beautiful boxes. So anyway, what happened was that the researcher went away to whoever was in charge and came back and said, we're not allowed to put this one up, which was a reptilian, but we're allowed to put this one up. And I said, well, why? I don't know. It's just what the boss is saying. They originally said to me, want two up. And that's why if you look at any of the still pictures that are on the internet, you've got me being interviewed, and then behind there's one television screen and there's a picture of a mantid. And there's supposed to be a reptilian and a mantid. But you're not allowed to show pictures of reptilians because they are very much involved with the system. Okay. So reptilians are involved for their own reason, but there are other who have their own reasons as well, but are not as well known. What was the other one saying?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's from your perspective, so obviously that's three alien species. I think listening to one of your others quite recently, because I think it was on Mars, it seems to be different also reptilian species. But do you also know other alien species, perhaps by knowledge or direct experience?
Okay.
Or yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I did one with Alfred Weber and Andy Kramer, radio interview, which seems to have done very well. You know, when I do these shows, I really don't know how they go, and I very rarely listen back to them. There are more than one species of reptilian. The reptilian species that we know the best are the species that has taken itself to declare itself the creator of mankind. That's what it declares itself, because it believes it to be so. But there are many, many other groups of reptilians. There's a group which are called the Raptors, for an obvious name, but they're called the Raptors and they work with the United States Navy. Now, when the 9/11 situation occurred, you'll remember that there was an explosion in the Pentagon. What you may not know was that it was the Navy, the United States Navy section in the Pentagon that was blown up. And the reason for that was the US Navy, through a guy called Forrestal, right back in the 1950s, had always played a key role in ufology. You wouldn't think the Navy would be involved, but they've always had a key role. And they have a much more centered approach than either the United States Air Force, which obviously is in charge of the one arm of the Space Fleet, and the Army. So the Navy got a bloody nose at the Pentagon explosion as a warning to them, because they are dealing with a species of reptile called Raptor. And the Raptors have their own agenda. So there are many, many different groups. I don't like the alien greys. I just don't. And I don't see them very much. But there are many different sorts of alien greys. And when I talk about my experience with reptilians, I usually during a conference make it quite clear and say the Draconis reptilians, because I can't speak for other people. Other people are having experiences with other different groups who have different agendas, so it doesn't mean that they're wrong and I'm right or vice versa. It's just that different alien species have their own groups. They all meet, they all have an annual general meeting once a year, and and they all agree a certain program, and then they all go their own ways and just do exactly what they want to do, very much like the humans. So they'll sign up to something publicly, and then they'll also go and do their own thing. So somebody who doesn't understand will say to me, what are the aliens doing? And if I'm in a bit of a bad mood, I'll say, right, which aliens are you talking about? Oh, well, and it's about making people realise that there are many agendas. You know, if you went to the Chinese government, would their agenda be anything like the Indian government? No, of course it wouldn't. So why should they be any different? So that's the situation we have. We have many different worlds with different historical trajectories of engaging with humans, linked in with the planet and the way it works. And so my, as Sydney said, my values or my perceptions of what's happening are based on a small minority group that interact with me. But if I was, say, Alex Collier, who was meeting with a group from a higher, more spiritually defined range, then my view would be very different, because I wouldn't be meeting with reptilians. Because if you're in meeting the creatures from the fifth dimension, you won't meet reptilians. So your ideas and views will be different. So nobody's right and wrong. Everyone should be respected, but all the views should be taken and coordinated to try and understand what is meeting. You had a question, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. It was just that you keep mentioning the Illuminati, and I'm not exactly sure what you mean.
Okay, and that's a really good point, because I use that terminology simply because that's the name that appears on every YouTube video on the subject and the internet.
I'm not good at YouTube.
It goes right back to 1776. It goes back further, but 1776 is when we started in the term of the new colonies in America. It's the forming together of wise men who are empowered to make decisions for people who can't make decisions. My grandfather used to always say, basically ordinary people can't go to the toilet unless we show them how to. Because that is the value system that they are brought up with. It's not so different from someone who goes to Eton, Oxford and Cambridge, and is told you're going to be a doctor or you're going to be a solicitor. And there's an arrogance with a particular line. Not all of them have it, but a lot of them have the arrogance, I'm better than you. And they believe it. And they're the new captains of industry. They're the ones going to be running the country. You're going to be prime minister in 25 years' time. So they actually come into this world already with a program which is telling them they're different. So with the Illuminati group, this is a group of people who have different diverging views, and I want you to imagine it not that way, but that way. And within that, there are many, many different groups and values. But you have people like the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, J.P. Morgan, who are actually at the top, and it's these that you would refer to as those who make the decisions based on an agenda they are running. So when we talk about Illuminati, we're talking about people who have knowledge over and above what normal people have, and they have sacred knowledge or magical knowledge.
That was what was confusing me, because of the way you were talking, because my understanding of Illuminati, before you explained it was like that, is people of a very high spiritual level of knowledge. That was my understanding of Illuminati. Whereas the way you're explaining it, it appears to be people who are in control and have money. So that was why I asked.
They're both right. Because most Illuminati people are vegetarian, because they know that if they eat, it lowers their body's vibrational frequency, and they want to do magic or they want to be successful in business, so they wish to. So most Illuminati people are spiritual, but their take on spirituality would perhaps be very different from yours.
Well, it must be.
But they remember it's all about perception. So if I had a 4D room here and had a group of Illuminati just mirroring you guys here, you know, it would be very interesting, wouldn't it? Because they would see themselves as the spiritual guardians of the planet.
Now, spirituality, I always understood to be love, vibration of love, spirituality. So anything that encompasses greed or control has nothing to do with spirituality. So that's where I'm not quite understanding.
I agree with you entirely. The problem is that others might not understand that. But from my perspective, standing here, that's entirely right. It is about love. Because remember this, that it is very hard for somebody who has an agenda which is not helpful to humanity to do anything with love energy. Okay, it's very difficult to be manipulated. Love energy is very hard to be turned against the user or to create something non-beneficial. And if you are able to project that and you live that as best you can, then you are living a very balanced life and it does put you in a very strong position. Why do you think the elite put agents provocateurs into demonstrations to turn peaceful demonstrations into violent? Because they cannot manage peaceful demonstrations. If 100,000 people sat down in Trafalgar Square and all peacefully thought the Queen should abdicate, human consciousness would cause the Queen to abdicate. Can't have that. So we'll put a few people in and throw petrol bombs, and we'll get all the riots going, and then that energy can't be used for that. You know, human creatures, and I say that because you might have a reptile soul, you might have what have you, so I just refer to you as a human body. You have the ability to create out of nothing. You have the ability to create out of thought. You can make things happen. I have a drink of water in there. This is about human consciousness. I want you to understand it's perhaps the most important thing here. The story I give is a true story that in about 1840, 1850, on Orkney Island, there was a big sandstorm and a Neolithic stone-built roundhouse was discovered. And this is about 4000 BC, so made by the Neolithic, the New Stone Age. And the Victorians, 1840, 1850, 1860, their archaeologists came and did a good job, cleaned it all up. This thing was totally round, like an igloo, except a quarter of it had fallen away. So they thought, we will restore this and we will make it whole, and then we'll charge threepence and people can come from the mainland to come and view it. That's fine, that's okay. Human consciousness back then had been programmed since the times of the ancient Greeks, and even further back. Rooms have corners. All rooms have corners. What they were seeing was a round room with a piece fallen off. But because their consciousness was so lower, they restored it with a corner. This is really important. Because at that level, the consciousness decided that it had to have a corner. You know, that door's there because human consciousness decides that door goes there. You create from thought. Many years later, 150 years later, if that roundhouse had been found, because we are evolving and human consciousness is, believe it or not, moving up, they would look at that and they would say, oh, that's meant to be round. So that's how human consciousness has gone in 150 years. So don't mistake it. It is really advancing. It is advancing. It's just very difficult from our perception. So we should all be really proud of what we are, because we are creators. And that's what certain people in government don't want us to know, that we really are creating. And I always say, and I have to be very, very careful, because I understand people can be religious. I know God is real because the aliens have told me God is real. But it's religion I have a problem with. And I don't think anybody should bow down to anybody. That's my own view. You know, you ask yourself what is right. Okay. And I mean, even Jesus said, don't make graven images. Don't make models. And what does the Catholic Church do? It makes plaster casts of Mary and Jesus on the cross. And specifically told, don't do that. So it's religion that's the problem. And here we go, it's men. It's not women. It's men who want to control. Well, I'm talking about religion, where the female had a role in Celtic times, and that was taken away from them. Because men wanted to control that environment. So within the religious line, we see how hierarchy, power, have corrupted that. And so we're always asked to give away our rights, aren't we? Our strength, our own sovereignty. Give it away to someone else. And it's so important that you don't. Okay.
Does anybody else have any more questions at the moment? Because if not, you haven't told us too much about your interactions with mounted.
Okay.
About meeting Great One.
Okay.
And about the task. And
It's probably better if you ask me one question at a time, because I can't. If you tell me three or four, I can't do that.
Well, tell us about the mantids, your experience with them, and particularly the contract or task that you have with them.
Right. There are many sorts of mantids. The mantids are ones I relate to are divided into three tiers. The first tier, literally, are the doctors. If you ever have an operation, you don't have a grey do an operation on you. Get a mantid to do it. It's very, very skilled. The next one up are the computer operators, or those that fly spacecraft. And then the next group up are the ones that wear the purple robe, and they have the job title of the Universal Master. And I actually asked one, how can you be a Universal Master when this is a multiverse? And the answer is very simple. Within the multiverse, there are universes. And we have one appointed representative for each universe within the multiverse. Because it's too big for one person to manage. So that's why they're called Universal Masters. And I would say to you that the very fact that they are hierarchical like that means they haven't evolved properly. Because if you go to the fifth, sixth, and seventh dimension, the only type of structure you have are those that decide to learn. Like elders who want to learn and be more knowledgeable, but there isn't a hierarchical structure. So as soon as you're faced with an alien group that has a structure like that, you know that they haven't spiritually evolved. So this is the group that I work with. The Universal Master is between 7 foot, 7.5 foot, and wears a purple robe, usually male. There's a slit in the pocket, and then the wand is kept in. One's about 18 inches long. I don't know what that is in modern money. It's about that long. It's not a self-defense weapon. It is a rank of office. But it is used to control humans. That's why a genuine experiencer can never report a gun ever being seen, really. When do you see genuine experiencers tell you about an alien with a gun? Why don't they have guns? Because they don't need them. Why don't they need them? Because they can turn a human off just like that with the brain. They don't need guns. When the reptilians were doing the genetic experiments with humans, they put a switch in all human white people's minds, that's a very important point I make that, which allows them to gain access to that particular individual. And they do it with a blue light. And I've always made the comment, why do you think police cars have blue lights? The elite know. What that does is when you're, if you're a bad person or a good person and you're being chased, the blue light behind you on a deep level, frequency level, makes you make mistakes. That's what it's about. You make an error of judgment. Why do you think when the police in America chase people, they don't chase them? In Britain, when a police car chases somebody, they generally chase them right up behind them. In America, they don't. They just wait for them to crash because they know that's what's going to happen and do the work for them. Because the blue light, the flashing strobe blue light, has the effect. So this wand is that big. On the end is a crystal. I don't know what type of crystal, and it's faceted. The creature will activate it with its mind, and each facet will light up in a clockwise direction very quickly. When the circle is joined, the blue light comes out, hits a human in the eyes, you just switch off, and you are put into a trance. And that's exactly what it's for. But it's also, it's called the Rod of Office. That's, if we look to translate it into English, it's called the Rod of Office. And it's a sign of their authority. The mantids have a refereeing role throughout the universe. They are the ones called on to be arbiters, to make decisions. And during my training period as a child, as a boy, I was given many tasks by them to make decisions, to see if I could make a decision to. One of them was, there was a war, there's a war game being played. That's not a real war. Two sides are fighting each other, they're fighting over a planet, you have to sort that out. How can you get both sides to stop the war, but in an equitable way, so that nobody feels they've been hard done by. So these are the tasks. If you're in the reptilian line, you're given the sword challenge. I met somebody who actually had the same challenge. You have a sword that high, you have to throw it up in the air, spins in the air, and if you back off from it, you're out of the program. Because your commitment to their group is not strong enough over your self-preservation. It's how a lot of the Illuminati work. Who's more important? The the group, the sacred group, or this special group, or you and your family. So these are tasks meant to decide, and what you're supposed to do is catch the sword. I did catch the sword, but the person that I spoke to had also had this test, and he tried to catch it and dropped it, and he said the shame and the embarrassment, and in fact he was out of programming. So different groups, when working with humans, give them such tests so that you move up in the structure within that organisation. It's not like an army, isn't it? You get stripes and then pips. It's exactly the same, except, you know, you might take an exam or something. But that's exactly what they're doing. They're testing you, but they're testing your loyalty to them rather than your ability. Okay, what's next?
Can you tell us a bit about the Great One? And you're meeting with him.
Right.
I assume it's a him.
Yeah. 1971, I'm just going to call it a facility. I can't tell it was a spaceship or anything. I don't know, it was just a round room. Big screen up on the front, two side screens, row of chairs, six chairs, looking towards the screens, central chair. I'm on the central chair. I'm not in my body. I'm in my energy body, and I'm connected to the arms of the chair by what I call spaghetti, which you might call fibre optics, and then to the back of my head, great mass of wires into the back of my head, but they're not wires. And that allows me to talk to the computer that controls the facility. And it also allows me to create and do things. There's no pain, it doesn't hurt. And I was asked if I wanted to do it. And then everyone else had to leave the room, and this image appeared on the screen, and his title, again translated into English, is the Great One. Very tall, much taller than the others, and has an emblem which looks oddly like a cross, and it has two gems on it. We call it Hong Kong Bushun cut, which is not faceted, it's like an onyx ring, just smooth and round, purple and green. There were their colours, that's the mounted colours, purple and red. And this thing is 12 inches long. Remember, 12 is the magic number. Hangs there, and I'm obviously meant to see that. That's a symbol of his rank and authority. But he has two reptilian bodyguards. That's interesting, two reptilian bodyguards. And he says to me, basically, that I'm to be accepted into their group, but there's a task ahead, but we don't know what the task is. There's a task ahead, but we don't know what the outcome is going to be. And basically, if you fail on the outcome, that's the end, finished. Now, I wasn't clear whether it's the end finished for me or the end finished for humanity. And his exact words to me were, but you know, you're strong, the life is strong, go out there and be brave and do what you need to do. So it was a pep talk, but it was very honourable. And what was important was that I knew that this creature outranked me in the hierarchy of the mantid world, but he was my equal spiritually. So in other words, I did not look on him and, oh God, get down on my knees and pray. What I looked on him is to say that he has worked his way up the order. So he has the command of the group through whatever, but he's no better than me. And that has led me never to be scared of these creatures, never to be frightened. So when these creatures appear, the only time I get frightened is because they can appear through a portal. And if they don't judge it properly, they can literally appear 3 feet in front of me. And your natural reaction is to jump. If you remember when you were in school and your friends would jump out and shout, boom, and that happened, and I remember many times it happens, and I'd just go, oh, it's you. You know, because that's okay. It's just the fact that as a human monkey brain in here, and it could never calm down. That will always be shocked. So the Great One literally holds the office of the decision-making of the group. There is a council. I have seen and attended the council, and they run by the traffic light system. I vote against you red, I vote for you green, I abstain amber. So literally they make a decision, and there's a bar comes up with the numbers of the coloured lights. So when you're addressing the council and there's a resolution taken, the colours come up and you win or lose depending on the coloured lights you've got. You'll take a question, or have you got more?
I've got plenty, but there's people here with questions.
I've got a brief question.
Okay, go ahead.
You mentioned about the energy body separating from the physical body.
Yes.
How visible is that?
a psychic person would see it no problem at all. The soul, your souls are elliptical. They're about that big. They're about that thick. And they sit here, from here to here, cover the heart area. They are white to whitey yellow, and they vibrate like that. And depending on your soul family, then the vibration is different.
Can you see them?
No. No, I can't. The only time I've seen them once when I was permitted to see them. I don't see auras either. I mean, done conferences up and down the country, and two people in different parts of the country came up and said, I can see your aura. Oh, great. And they both said it was white. And I've never seen an aura. But I have been told, that's why I don't see orbs, really, been told that if you could see this, it would deflect you away from your work. You would be so involved in this that you wouldn't do what you're
supposed to do. It
would distract you. Because that's not what I'm meant to do. I've seen an orb once, and it was an orb, for those of you not aware, is consciousness coming in from another dimension. But our dimension in the third world is very heavy. So anything that comes through is squashed into a circle. So when you see an orb, that's your family, presumably, coming to visit you. But you're seeing it as an orb consciousness. And then I ever seen one was down on the skirting board. And when I looked at it, it was all pixelated out because something had been done to my brain to try and camouflage it. So I couldn't see it.
Any more questions? Go right ahead.
Earlier you mentioned implants.
Yeah.
Can you explain a bit more about that, please?
Two sorts of implants. Two pedigrees of implants. The human elite implant people, left, right and centre.
How do you do that?
Abduct you, take you, and place an injection into you. This is the old one. The new one's a nano box, but under your skin. And what they do is they already have a sample of your DNA, and they grow a cell culture around it. So when it goes in, your body doesn't reject it, because if you just stuck a piece of metal into your body, the body would try and get rid of it. So it's like in a gel sheath. So your body detects its own genetics and then grows around it. And what they want is the nerve endings to start growing into it so that it can communicate directly, depending on where it's placed. Now, of course, anyone who has abductions by the military, and I don't want to talk about it too openly because it's something that I would talk with people individually, but you may be aware of injection marks on your body. And if anybody has got that, then you could talk to them privately. That's sometimes, occasionally, injections of nano, tiny implants for other purposes. The other group now that literally last 20 odd years are etheric implants, which are implants that can be placed in your auric field. If it's there for not a positive reason, it's there to stop you from developing, lock down your chakras, prevent you from being spiritual, telepathic, what have you. I had an implant in my hand here, which is given to me. I'll tell you the story because there's actually a wound there, so I can show you that. 1963, so I would have been 3 and a half or something, in a place called Hove, where I lived with my mum before she moved to Brighton. And I had chicken pox. That's right, I had chicken pox, and I don't know what your kids have now, but in those days you had this thing you painted, it was bright yellow, and you used to paint it on the spots. And I developed it over the Friday. Mama took me to the doctors, got this stuff, Saturday, Sunday. Now on Monday, I'm 3 and a half years old, I know this might shock you, but you have to understand it's not a normal family. 3 and a half years old, mother says, right, I'm going to work now. They'll leave you on your own. And in exact words to me, well, don't worry, they'll look after you. That's exactly what she said. So she went off to work, and I had my Rupa annual books and my colouring books. These are books that you have a paintbrush and water. You just paint water over them and then they change colours. And then a guy walks in into the room with a cloth over his arm and a tray. And he looks like a waiter to me. And I say, who are you? And he says, I'm your doctor. So you know, have you come to make me better because I've got chicken pox? And no, I've come to make your mind better. So take this, so it gives me a drink, and drink the drink, and then mantids come in. I don't even see how they come in, they just come in. They're not ones I recognise, because they have family members that you genetically be connected to or energetically connected to. and says that your mother wants you to have this in your hand. And it's about that big, it's like a glass bauble, and I actually start panicking because I don't want that in my hand, and then he understands and says no, and then it just cracks open like that, the two ends open, and inside is a tiny, tiny silver, not black, silver piece of metal, about a quarter side of a rice grain, just floating. And I said, well, you know, does my mother want me to have this? Meaning alien one. And he said, yes. But he said, your mother's told me to tell you this. And he then gave me a code word almost, which I know that only he would have. So I said, well, what does it do? And he said, well, if you want your mother to know where you always are, and to be able to monitor your health and come to you whenever you need trouble, this is good for you. If you don't want that, this is not good for you. Make a choice. That's the way it's always been with me. I've never been forced. It's make a choice, you choose. So I said, I'll take it. Really, really bizarre, because what I saw was the skin in my hand just open, part. No blood at all. And that freaked me out. And you know, when you have human kids and you go for an injection, the doctor, he or she, will say, look away, so you don't see the needle going into your arm. Well, what this mantid said was, look at the animals that have come to play with you. And when I turned, there was a cheetah, a giraffe, and something else, just dancing in the room. And then they disappeared, and my hand had gone. Well, it was got at by military when I was in my teens, and they took it out. Now, no, it's humans that took it out, because there's a scar. Is ever done by people from off-world, there's no scar, the technology is such. So then they came back to me and said, you know, you've had your implant taken out, do you want another one? Yes. Okay, well, the important thing is that we better not tell you where we're going to put it, because if you know where we put it, they'll come and take it out of you. So we will make sure you forget, if that's okay. Yeah, that's fine. So I have another implant which allows my bodily functions to be continually logged and checked. And wherever I am, if I need help, then help. So those implants, I'm not saying they're good or ill, that's those, but there are implants that the elite put in. They don't need them so much, as long as you've got your mobile phone on, they'll know exactly where you are within 6 feet. Never mind all this meters, it's within 6 feet. They track you by your mobile phone. And the other thing that's interesting is that, you know, in the TV detective shows, you know, they make a call and say, we need 10 more seconds to trace the call. Absolute nonsense. They know exactly where you are. But they don't want the public to know the truth just how much they are. And that's why you're all forced to go down the digital road, because analogue could be tracked in the same way. You can't hack into analogue. Okay.
Any more questions from the floor?
Let's ask, does your Earth mother, was she always aware of what was happening to you?
She must have made an agreement. She must have had her own agreement. I mean, she never remarried, she never had another boyfriend. Mm-hmm. There's a good reason for that. And she actually said to me, my only job is to bring you up. My mother was very reptilian souled, and in one way she loved me, in one way she resented me, because she was held on the planet doing a job that perhaps she didn't really want to do. So she did know, because in 1971, when I had we haven't talked hugely about that, but when I had the experience, she actually said, draw it all down, and I will take these drawings to the people I work with. So she had a very clear knowledge, but she didn't want to leave me. She was under orders that she couldn't let me advance beyond my own understanding, or she couldn't push me. I had to be left to develop into
jets.
And then when I came to her with a question, then she would answer it. Very difficult for her, very, very tricky. I mean, I desperately feel sorry for her, because she was in an impossible position. She was murdered in 1979 when she went to her bosses and said, I can't do this job anymore, I can't work for MI5. She'd become an alcoholic some 4 or 5 years prior to that, simply because what she was reading on the documentation was, she said that she was unhappy with the fact that people were being lied to. There was all this stuff she was, no knowledge, people were being lied to, and she didn't like it. And of course they just said to her, well, you're part of the system now. You're doing it. You're part of the system. You are the problem. Which upset her greatly. And she took to drink, and she became a loose cannon. So she went to them and said, look, you know, I've had enough of this, I want back. You promised me my job back. They did. Got her job back, and then within 2 weeks she was dead. So, and I've always said that, and I won't kill her, I understand that, because from their perspective, they had this woman with all this knowledge. But doesn't excuse it. So this is the real dirty world that exists.
You had another question, yeah?
Yeah, you mentioned the choice. You're always given a choice.
Yeah.
Is that a multiverse or omniverse principle that all beings must have the freedom of choice?
Yes, it is, because if you make a choice that is not free will, it can't hold its validity. In other words, if you make a choice, I have to do it nice, I can't explain all this. You do a choice here, something flows from it and flows from it and flows from it. And in 1,000 years' time, something happens. But if it's found that this choice was not made out of free will, everything doesn't exist. It can just be removed. So if you want an outcome, whatever that outcome might be, you can't force a person to that choice because that outcome may not happen. So free will is enshrined right across the multiverse.
But you maybe get entities that might have an agenda and would try and influence a choice. Not that you make a whole choice, but you still make that choice out of your own free will, even though you don't know the true facts.
When I was walking here, I passed the job centre, and I saw a maze outside the job centre, and I made some joke, which we won't go into now. But that's the same point, because you have freedom to walk... but you are constrained by some barriers. I have had talks to people who are Rothschilds who actually fully understand this, that you have the free will, but your left turn or right turn is already dictated for you. So you have free will within that corridor. But that actually is right across the universe. But the higher up you go, the bigger that corridor, and the more freedom maneuver you have. The lower down you are, the more tightly confined you are.
So can I ask you a question now that somebody left on the event page? Thanks to everybody who put questions on the event page. A couple about the mantids. A quick one here. Are there different mantid species, like those different reptilian species?